love that time of year. But also as we're going into the holidays, because it so closely combines our walk with God, our thankfulness for all that he's done for us, and knowing that everything we're thankful for came from him. We also celebrate family and friends. And then we go from Thanksgiving into Christmas, which is, again, a huge holiday that focuses on Christ, but then also on his love and on family and exchanging of presents and giving and being thoughtful for one another. Parties, fellowship, getting together. And so all that is just such a great time of year. Now, that being said, I also understand that even though the song says it's the most wonderful time of the year, I understand that it's not always the case for everyone. There are seasons. We are now in the Christmas season. We're now heading towards a winter season. We understand with seasons that there's ebb and flow. There's times where, man, things just are just perfect in your life, and then there's times where things are uncomfortable and not so good. And so the message tonight is to try to help us, some that may be in seasons right now where it's difficult, where this time of year is difficult. Sometimes there's loss. Sometimes this may be the first Christmas that somebody's not at Christmas with you. There could be betrayal. There could be loss of jobs. We've had a couple of people at each church that have just been notified that they've lost their jobs. So that makes a wonderful time of year a very stressful time of year. And without trying to bring anybody down tonight, this so far is a very great Christmas for us this year, and a very great time of year and Thanksgiving. But we have had our season. And we had 3 years of a season here a few years ago that it was just keeping our head above water, and it was a very stressful time. I will be attending a funeral Saturday for a family that lost their 17-year-old daughter, and they're pastoring, and they're doing a great work in Chillicothe, and their daughter was on her way to a youth conference and lost her life in an accident on the way there. So I would be insane to try to make it a trite thing to say that, well, you know, just God's gonna get you past it. Well, there's some things that we have to understand, that this time of year can be very difficult at times and during certain seasons of people's life. So understanding that, say, somebody here may be in that season, you may have, what I will say tonight may help you understand seasons that you've been through like this. It may help you in the future if it is a more uncomfortable season this time of year. I hope to equip us tonight and to give us some understanding of the Lord's intent and some scriptures that hopefully will help us. And then we're going to pray tonight. If anybody is in one of those seasons right now, we're going to pray for God's peace and God's comfort to help us through these times. A number of years ago, while I was a youth pastor at this church, my wife and I were, it was this time of year, and it was a very uncomfortable time for me. And we were driving up to Kroger over the Kroger that used to be off of Wilson Road in that plaza over there. And we're pulling up front, and discussion got rolling about gifts and what do we get our parents and how much do we spend on our parents. And we got into this conversation, and I gave an amount, and I could tell that it wasn't a satisfactory amount that my wife was happy about. And she's not a high-maintenance person. I wasn't happy with the amount, so let's just get that straight. But I knew where we were with what we could afford to do and what we couldn't. And so she said, is that all? And I said, okay, you tell me what our parents are worth. Because the bottom line is, Christmas, you give a token of appreciation, a gift. But the bottom line is, we could never afford to give our parents what they're worth. All they've done for us, all the meals, all the growing up, all the training, all they are as faithful parents to us, there's no way that the tens of thousands of dollars could not repay our parents for what they've done for us. So I said, so give me an amount. And she said, why? That's hard. I can't give an amount. I said, exactly. It's not about the amount. It's about that we love them and we want to be thoughtful and give them something. So we have to give an amount that's within our budget. And that's not nearly enough to show them our true love for them. And hopefully how we treat them throughout the rest of the year is an indication of how much we love and appreciate them. Everybody say stress. That conversation was stress. It was pressure. It was, how can we give our parents something so small when they've done so much? And then we could bust our budget and go way beyond that, but then we're putting it on credit cards that we can't afford and interest rates that are going to be. And so there's this, it's stress, it's pressure. Consequently, it was that same season where, it might have even been when we were finishing up that conversation, she said, well, what would it take this Christmas to make it Christmas for you? Because I probably just kind of went into just just the pressure, just she released the valve and then it probably all came out. And so the pressure of Christmas and she said, what would it take to make it Christmas for you? I said, I just want a day in sweats and a hoodie. Now, you may call that jammy day, but that's like adult jammies, right? Sweats and a hoodie. That's adult jammies. So I was like, I just want a jammy day. Maybe we make some cookies at home, put on some old classic Christmas music, you know, Chipmunks and Bing Crosby and some of these old classics, and just put them on and we just don't have any plans for the day. And I just want a couple days just to be with my family and not have anything on the calendar. Maybe it's snowing outside. Maybe it's not. But I just want to enjoy time with my family. Because that particular time frame, I was in a very unique position. Now, this isn't the fact that my pastor was so demanding of me. It wasn't that at all. But understand this. Because I was a man, I was expected to be at the men's meetings. Because I was a leader, I was expected to be at the leadership meetings. Because I was in the choir, I was at choir practice for the songs that we were going to sing at the Christmas program. There was a drama. I had a part in the drama, so there was a rehearsal for the drama. I was a youth pastor, so I was trying to do my things as a youth pastor for Christmas as well, and keeping up with the youth pastor responsibilities. There was all these things. I was on the ministry team, so any leadership things that we had for ministry, I was expected to be at. Now, it wasn't that my pastor was unreasonable. It just happened to be that I was involved in so much that it just I was just tapped out. In fact, one of the funny things was is the night that I proposed to my wife several years previous to this, I asked if she could be excused from choir practice on a Thursday night so that I could take her out and propose to her. And she said, no. I said, really? And she said, yeah. She said, if I do it for her, I'll have to do it for everybody. I said, who else is asking to get married? And so I talked to her dad. He said, just take her and go, and I'll take care of that. Literally on my calendar, if I didn't propose to her that Thursday night, I did not have another open night for 3 months. I did not have an open night for 3 months. There are pressures that come this time of year. I did a search, and my search was simply this: mental health and holiday statistics. I just did that search. And I'm going to give you the articles, about the top 10 articles that came up. Mental health and holiday blues. November 19th, approximately 755 overall respondents reported that the holidays contribute to feeling sad and dissatisfied and 68% financially strained. The next article, 79% of surveyed respondents overlook their health needs. Overall respondents, 63% claim that the holiday season is more stressful than tax season. Now, understand this. This is not God's intent. This shouldn't be our intent to be this stressed out during the holidays. And as I stated, some things are going to happen. There's going to be maybe one less person at the table. There's going to be a job loss. There's going to be a personal loss. There's going to be things that are there. But we have to be very careful not to add things to that. And I don't believe it's the Lord's intent for us to add stressful things to this time of year. Another article, as holiday season begins, America's stress rises. 31% of adults say that they expect to feel more stress this upcoming holiday season compared to last. This is an increase of over 9 percentage points. Next article, mental health and holidays, coping with loneliness. 38% of people say their stress increases during the holiday season, which can lead to depression, anxiety, and increased substance abuse. Next article says, do depression rates rise during the holidays? A survey of American Psychological Association found that 38% of people felt their stress levels increase during the holiday season. Next article says this, rising mental health awareness during the holiday. Approximately 40% of adults are riddled with social anxiety around the holidays. This is not the way it's supposed to be. 8 in 10 Americans are stressed about the holidays. 8 in 10 Americans say that their expectations and events around the holidays cause them to feel increased stress. And finally, 27 holiday stress statistics, tips to survive the festivities. A 2018 study found that 88% of Americans felt stressed while celebrating the holidays. Here are some statistics about mental health in the holidays. According to a 2023 American Psychological Association survey, 89% of U.S. adults feel stressed during the holidays, with 41% reporting higher stress levels than other times of the year. Mental illness, there was a survey found that 64% of the people with mental illness say the holidays make their condition worse. Caregiving, we experience this ourselves. An AARP survey found that nearly 7 in 10 caregivers say that it is stressful to care for their loved one during the holiday season. And finally, gift giving. According to the American Psychiatry Association poll, adults are more likely to be worried about affording, 46% are worried about affording presents, and 40% are worried about finding the right present to give. Some common sources of stress during the holidays include financial pressure, family gatherings, lack of time, high expectations, and travel stress. So when we experience anxiety, here's really how anxiety is defined. It's defined as fear, dread, or uneasiness. And anxiety can have many symptoms, including physical symptoms, rapid heartbeat, sweating, trembling, nausea, dizziness, shortness of breath, unexplained aches and pains, and tingling of the fingers or lips. Some of the mental symptoms that come along with it are feeling tense, restless, irritable, or having a sense of impending danger, panic, or doom. Behavioral symptoms with this is avoiding things that trigger anxiety or avoiding everyday activities. You just want to check out. You don't want to go to the work birthday or Christmas party. Don't want to go to church functions. You just want to just stay home and close the blinds. Sleep issues that happen, and I've experienced some of these during certain seasons that were not good holidays for me. Even though it was supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year, there were times in my life it was not. Because while everybody else, seemingly to me, was having a great time, I had concerns, I had issues, I had problems, I had loss. Sleep issues, having trouble sleeping or having disturbing dreams that wake you up. In cognitive symptoms, having trouble concentrating or making decisions, or having difficulty controlling worry. Different types of anxiety disorders can have different symptoms, but they all involve anxious thoughts or beliefs that are hard to control. When you feel anxious or stressed, your body releases stress hormones that trigger your fight or flight response, and this can cause you your body to go into sweating and other things to try to get you to cool down. Now, what this is not going to address is also the spiritual side of what happens when we're wrestling with this. Last night when we were closing service in Circleville, we began to pray. And as we were praying, closing the service, the word Halloween came to me. And I thought that was bizarre. In fact, in my own head, when I just started praying, as we were praying for peace and praying for people to have help, when I heard the word Halloween in my mind, it just kind of just puzzled me, like, well, that's kind of weird. That's kind of out of nowhere. And the impression that I got with that is really you don't hear many studies about people feeling any of this during Halloween. In fact, you don't hear much of any stress or anxiety or anything around Halloween. And why is that? Well, because we have an enemy that celebrates that time of year. That same enemy does not want us to have peace, joy, and love during the holidays. Now, God's not one that's going to torment you during Halloween. He's going to give you the liberty to do your own thing, whatever you want to do or not do for Halloween. But we do have a very real controlling, manipulating enemy that would try to keep us from enjoying what we should enjoy during the holidays, during Christmas, during Thanksgiving, things that commonly bring us closer to God. There are times that we feel the need to be renewed in our spirit, to be refreshed. And I think Brother L said it well with the Upper Room prayer revival, that it awakens something in us. So I'm going to give us some areas. Now again, nothing but the hand of God is going to help somebody that's gone through a major loss. I will attend two viewings this weekend. None of what I'm about to say is going to help that. My hope tonight, in this title of this lesson is Hope for the Holidays. My hope is, first of all, to let you know that God can help you with those things that you just feel like, I can't make it through it. God can help you. The peace that passes understanding, right? So that supernatural side. What I'm also hoping for us to do tonight is to understand that there are some things that we can do to help. Let me give you an example. A lady in our church, when I first started pastoring years ago, She'd come up to the altar and ask me to pray for her. And so I'd pray for her. And I noticed that after about 3 months, it was the same prayer. And it was some sugar diabetes things that she was going through. And so she just kept coming, kept praying, and I kept praying for her. Now, I was a new pastor, so I wasn't sure exactly what to do with all this. So one night, I just said, are you doing what the doctor's asking you to do? Are you following doctor's orders? And she said, oh, no. I was shocked. I mean, that would be like somebody coming up to the altar, hitting themselves in the head with a hammer, say, Pastor, pray for me because I got a headache. And they just keep hitting themselves in the head with a hammer and want me to pray that the headache would go away, but they keep hitting themselves on the head with a hammer. If there's some things you know to do, don't ask for the miraculous healing if you're continuing to put yourself in a condition to not be healed. And so exercise some faith, follow doctor's orders, and then come to the altar and let us pray for you. And so my prayer for her dramatically changed that night. And so I put my hands on her head, and I said, God, give her the courage to do the right thing, to be the steward over her body that you've created her to be. Help her to take care of this temple that you've given her, that she would not destroy this temple. And I think she started like maybe, you know, I felt like maybe she's going to start like pulling my hand away from her head. But she has some part in this. And so my hope tonight is that there will be some things, if you've suffered a loss, we're going to pray that God's going to help with that. There's going to be other things that if we can help you, and if we can make some decisions that will help us, then it can make this holiday filled with a lot more hope and joy and peace. And so part of the way we renew our spirit is some of these things we have to understand. Why do we need renewed in our spirit? Well, because some of us are overcommitted. Everybody say overcommitted. I eventually resigned from the choir. Stopped singing in the choir. I stepped down from a couple positions at the church because I just could not do it all. I just couldn't do it all. And I had to realize that there had to be some balance in my life. I heard a man a few years ago, and he said, now this doesn't apply to everybody because, you know, very, very few people, according to him, very few people are overcommitted at church. He said, but in some cases, though, the enemy, if he can't get you to stop, then he'll get you to just keep your foot on the accelerator. You know, even a race car has brakes. And that's for a reason, because even a race car doesn't go wide open all the time. It's got to know when to slow down. It's got to know when to go into a turn. It's got to know when to accelerate. It's got to know when to slow down. And so this guy was saying that he had experienced a lot of friends that were ministers that had horrible health because they just didn't slow down. They just didn't take care of themselves. And so we have to decide this holiday, when do you need a jammy day? When do you need a couple jammy days? When do you need a couple of days to just chill with family? But I've got the work party. I've got this. I've got that. I've got the church thing. I've got this. I've got... You can't necessarily say yes to everything. And so you might need to pick and choose and not be overcommitted, overworked. Again, that's some areas too. We have to know what to say no to. I was talking to Bill is here somewhere. Bill Hodum. I was talking to him, and a couple of years ago, he was offered. There he is. He was offered a job promotion at work, and he was talking to me about it. He said, "You know, Pastor," he said, "I felt like the Lord didn't want me to apply for the promotion, so I withdrew my name." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I know what my responsibilities are at church, and to go into management end of it, salary sometimes can be so demanding, and it's going to require more out of me. And for it to require more out of me, it's going to take more away from church. And so I like my involvement, what I'm doing at church, and I really don't want to sacrifice my ministry stuff and God stuff to take a promotion at work." I thought that was huge. I mean, I thought that was awesome that somebody would process through that and not just, yeah, I can get a promotion, I can get more money, I can, but he just said, you know, I don't want to be overworked. And for him to still do his church responsibilities and the promotion of the salaried position that has no cap on the hours, he knew that would not be good health-wise or even spiritually healthy. So when we're overcommitted, when we're overworked, everybody say overconnected. Now, what do I mean by overconnected? Well, we have a 24/7 news. Some of you aren't old enough. Now, any of us that have gray will understand that you used to get like the noon news and then the 5 o'clock news and the 11 o'clock news. And if you were going to get the news, you better get it then or read the dispatch. Now, There are whole stations that just run 24/7. There's CNN, there's MSNBC, there's Fox, there's these news channels. There's news all day long. You can get on Yahoo, you can get on Google News, you can get on Apple News, you can get on any news feed you want and get, I mean, just to the minute, just some shooting happened somewhere else and this happened and this movie star did this and you get all this news, and so you have to be very careful. There's talk radio that talks about the current news all day long, and so we just are overconnected with sometimes news. We also have social media. Well, how does this affect you? Well, I'm on Facebook the other night looking at some things, and I'm realizing how much information I'm processing in a very short amount of time. My wife one time was looking at Facebook, and she just kind of lets out this expression, "Oh, what?" And this wasn't the exact case, but it was like this. It was, well, a girl that I grew up with in Wisconsin, her niece just got diagnosed with something. Well, after the course of a few times this happening, I said, "Don't tell me that stuff." Because first of all, I don't know them. Now you're going to think I'm a pastor that doesn't care, but here's what I'm trying to tell you. I can't care about everybody all the time. I have enough people that I know that I have to care about and care for. But when you tell me that a girl that you grew up with that you haven't seen in 40 years and I've never met, didn't even know existed, when you tell me that her niece was diagnosed with some awful condition, now I'm sad for somebody I don't even know. You just gave me more exposure to things that I wouldn't have been exposed to before. In fact, without Facebook, she wouldn't have known that happened. So we find ourselves carrying a lot of bad news and a lot of information through social media. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And then you feel like a jerk if you don't care about it. Well, I don't even know who she is, so I can't care. Well, you're a jerk. And so there's this weight that we, because we're oversaturated, we're overconnected, we just carry a lot of stuff that if things are going good in your life, you listen to a little bit of news or you get on Facebook and find out something's not good for somebody else you don't even know, and then you're all of a sudden not really experiencing the peace and the joy that you could. And then we're just overwhelmed. Everybody say overwhelmed. And that's just everything. Like I said, our conversation, we can only give our parents a gift that costs this much. Makes me feel bad. If we buy them a more expensive gift, I feel better about the gift, but now I'm in debt at a 28% interest rate on a card. We got parties to go to. We got places to go. We don't have enough time to do all that we need to do, and it's just pressure from everywhere. So what we have to understand tonight is that God will comfort you and lead you and give you direction in your life. But he will not make you slow down. Now, your body might make you slow down. Your body might tell you. Your body might at some point say, yeah, you're going to slow down because you're wearing yourself out. And so you have... Something happens that your body says, yep, you're going to be in the bed for a while. You're going to slow down. So these are areas that when I read these, here's areas that we need to be stewards of our life, because these are areas that God is not going to make you do these things. He's not going to make you slow down. He's not going to lighten up your schedule. You're going to have to decide what that schedule looks like. He's not going to rearrange things so that you are healthy emotionally, spiritually, physically, with your family and just in your own body. He's not going to do that. He's not going to make you eat right. What does that have to do with stress? A lot. When you start seeing studies and things about how eating properly and proper hydration and proper rest. When you start reading these things, you know, again, it's back to the sister that was praying that I would, that God would heal her, and she wasn't taking care of herself. Many times we think we're fighting spiritual battles, and we do fight spiritual battles. I'm not saying we're not. We do. There's a very real enemy, very real spiritual battles. But a lot of times we're fighting depression. We're fighting things. We're fighting grogginess, the cloudy thinking. We're fighting things. We're getting in arguments. We're having discussions that are out of bounds because we're just having a horrible diet. A lot of sugar will make you moody. A lot of sugar will make you depressed. A lot of sugar will cause you not to think straight. And so the Lord is not going to make you eat right. Now, if you think that I'm just eating celery and carrots, now I might eat Nudie's carrot cake, and there's about that much carrot and about that much cream cheese icing in that thing. In fact, the one I bought the other day, I bought it for somebody, and as I handed it to the lady behind the counter, she was like, "Whoa." I said, "Yeah, you better get the coffee pot started with that one, either a gallon of milk or a coffee, get a coffee pot started and notify the people in the office." So you can look at me and know that I don't eat just carrots and celery all the time. However, I do have to understand that I've got to be a steward over this body. And if I'm going to be what God wants me to be, and if I'm going to have some peace and some joy and some benefit during this holiday, I have to eat right. Did I just indulge Thanksgiving? Yes, I did. Will I again at Christmas? Yes. When I go to a party, will I? Yes. But it doesn't mean that this whole holiday season I'm going to do that, because I know for me, it causes me to feel a certain way that I don't want to feel. And I don't want to feel like I can just pray that God will help me feel all this energy and all this great feeling that I want to feel when I'm not taking care of my body. I have to be the steward, and you have to be the steward over your body, your schedule, decisions, and commitments. And so this will help us, depending on what your struggle is during this time of year. This can help you. We must take care of these natural areas. We must take care of our rest. Maintain healthy relationships. Build margins in your schedule. Don't have your schedule so tight that you're just scheduled just so tight with everything that you don't have proper margins. Proper diet, rest, and sleep. There is a difference between rest and sleep. Don't feel like you can just run all day long or all day long, and then just drop over and then get up, pound a bunch of coffee or an energy drink and head out the door just because you slept. But your body needs some downtime. You need to rest and get some good sleep. Take care of yourself. Be self-aware and make adjustments. Not every battle is spiritual. You have to take care of yourself. There's three areas that the Lord spoke to me a few years ago about, and that is understanding the accusations from the enemy. There's a very real enemy that'll make you feel like you're not enough, or you better do this, or you need to stretch yourself, you need to go to this party, you need to do this, you need to have this relationship, you need to reach out to this person. You have to monitor those things. But there's accusations from the enemy that many times we wrestle. You're not enough. You're not giving enough. You're not doing this enough. And we really have to battle with the accuser of the brethren. And for you sisters too. The second area that I believe the Lord spoke to me about was unrealistic expectations from others. Other people will put expectations on you that are not your obligation. You know, I see sometimes where young adults will do this to their parents. Well, if you loved me, you would. You know, if you cared, you would. And then they put the criteria on: if you love me, you will do this for me. And usually, it has to do with enabling them to go back out and do what they want to do and destroy themselves. And so we can't be put in that expectation and let somebody else build the criteria of what love looks like. You have to decide for yourself. And so be careful of accusations from the enemy and unrealistic expectations from others. Here's the trickiest one that you'll have to deal with, and that's unrealistic expectations you put on yourself. That's probably the one I wrestle with the most because I want to do my best, and sometimes you don't feel like your best is enough. And so maybe I should have done more. And I have, with a little bit of age and a little bit of maturity, I've had to realize that I have parameters. There's a good book out that's called Boundaries. I'm trying to think of the author right now. I can't remember the author's name, but it's a really good book on that you have to have healthy boundaries in your life for people. Otherwise, they will just use and abuse and just suck the very life out of you. And you will let them, hoping that you're helping them, and you're really not. So now let's get into some scriptures here. So how do you renew and refresh yourself spiritually? Give you just some natural applications, but once you've done that and you feel like there's a spiritual thing that now you need to tap in, because again, to just do all these things and eat horrible and get no rest and think a Red Bull is going to help you through the day and bad relationships and going to every party you get invited to and trying to help everybody that feel like you need your help, to do all that, it's going to be very hard for the Lord to give you the peace that you want because you're putting yourself in a very toxic situation. So let's see. Let's start to look at some scripture and see what the scripture tells us. Romans 12:2 is what we'll start tonight. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Everybody say mind. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the first thing that's saying here is I can't use the world's format. I can't use their mindset. Every commercial is going to be, you'll be happy if you have this. The family's only smiling if the new Lexus drives in the snow-covered driveway with a puppy in it. You know, of course, the puppy's wrapped in a $75,000 Lexus with a leather interior. But the implication is, you know, to be happy, you have to have this stuff. There was a dispatch ad years ago that I remember the ad because the ad was a radio ad, and it was like an office setting where, let's say, the guy's name was Bill. Bill would be talking to his office friends, and they'd say, "Well, did you see in the dispatch now? Did you see about the Buckeyes in the dispatch last night?" And he said, "No, I don't." Have the dispatch, and they were like, "Oh," and then he would talk to somebody else about some news thing, and "Did you see that in the dispatch?" "Well, I don't get the dispatch." "You don't get the dispatch," and it was like this whole campaign was about just you're nothing if you don't have the dispatch. In fact, Starbucks has been built an empire, not on coffee, on the experience. If you watch their commercials, you'll never see anything about the flavor of their coffee, that their coffee is superior, their coffee is better than anybody else's. It's the experience of Starbucks. And in fact, if you walk into the office with Starbucks, it's because you're that caliber of person. Whether it tastes any better than Caribou coffee or any other Folgers or whatever, but you know, to walk in, that's why their branding is on everything. It's not a subtle branding. You can't even get the sleeve over your cup without having Starbucks on the sleeve. They got to make sure that the branding is there. What is it? It's making you feel like you're somebody. We have to be careful of Christians that we don't fall into advertising. We don't fall into the world system. We don't fall into the world's value system of appearance and look and success. Look, we were called to be faithful, not successful. If we're faithful, you are a success. If we're chasing money and big houses and fancy cars, if that's what we're looking for to feel like we've arrived, that's the world system. Be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so much of when I'm having the Lord talk to me and having the Lord speak to me and helping me, it's helping me to think different. It's helping me to process differently. In fact, when we talk about Him changing our heart, He's not changing your heart. When the Bible talks about your heart, it's not talking about the organ that pumps blood through your body. It's talking about trust your heart and have a changed heart and turn your heart towards the Lord. What we're really saying there is turning the emotional side of your thinking towards Him. So when the Bible says in Philippians, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," it's talking about having that transformation take place here. So be not conformed by the world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Last night, Brother Cox brought up a good point. He was doing some study on a passage, and he said the disciples, and I talked about the depression, and I talked about the rest and the sleeping and some of that. And he said at the conclusion last night when we had a little question and answer, he said he did some reading about the disciples that were falling asleep in the garden while Jesus went a little further and prayed. Jesus kept coming back and finding them asleep. You know, I've preached my whole life that they didn't understand the moment. They fell asleep. They didn't understand what was happening, how important it was. He says Luke, and if somebody wants to find that passage, I don't have it here, but if I'm not mistaken, he said that in that passage, Luke said that for fear they slept, or for sorrow they slept. So it wasn't for not understanding the moment, it was for sorrow they slept. So sitting right behind Jack actually was Gene, our clinician, our counselor. So after Brother Cox got done talking, I said, "Hey, Gene," I said, what's one of the number one symptoms of clinical depression? She said, "Excessive sleeping. Just wanting to check out." So it is a war for the mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There is a war for your kids' mind in the schools, in the music, in Hollywood. It's all a war for the mind. And we can't be caught up in what the world is trying to get us to think like and act like. But what does the Word, what does Jesus want us to think like? And so part of this is understanding that this season is about Him. It's not the stuff. My wife was totally fine when we had the conversation. She did not feel bad. We just kind of needed that moment to process, to realize, you know what? It's a very minute budget we have and we can afford for our parents. So somebody may be handing their parents a Lexus. That's not us that year. And probably not this year either, consequently. But that's the world's mentality. You got to get them something valuable. Let me tell you something else that will stress you out is watching everybody else's highlight reel. You understand, right, that not everybody eats like that every meal. You just get this person's fancy steak and asparagus and all that, their fancy dinner, their anniversary service, anniversary dinner. But out of the thousands of friends you have, you're seeing everybody's one or two meals a year that's the highlight reel and one or two vacations. And you know what you feel like? Man, everybody gets to go on vacation but me. Everybody gets to go out to fancy dinners but me. You're seeing everybody's highlight reel. They don't eat like that all the time in most cases. In fact, I purposely don't do any of that posting and any of that stuff because I just want to enjoy the moment. I don't want to always be taking a picture of you know, me and my moment. I just want to just enjoy the moment. I'll take pictures sometimes, but I don't want to get caught up trying to feel like I'm an influencer or something. I just want to enjoy my life. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, a constant renewing. God, remind me what you want me to be. Remind me of what I have. Remind me of the blessings that I have. Remind me that even if times are tough, I'm still thankful. There's still a lot in my life to be thankful for. I still know that you are with me and you'll never leave me or forsake me. And so constantly renew my mind. The Bible goes on to say to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. There are some that believe that there are three wills of God, that there is the good will of God, the acceptable will of God, and the perfect will of God. I don't believe that that's what that scripture is saying. There are some that feel that, and they're entitled to that, and it doesn't mean that I'm right just because I don't believe that. What I believe is the will of God, being in the will of God, is good, acceptable, and perfect. Because here's where the danger is. The danger is sometimes we'll say, you know what, well, I think this is the acceptable. It may not be the perfect will of God, but I think this is the acceptable will of God. So I'll just settle for the acceptable will of God. Because I really want to do this. I think this is acceptable. If there's these three wills of God, we're always bouncing around, is this the good will of God? Is this the acceptable? Can I just get away with this? Is this enough that this is, all right, it's not the good will and it's not the perfect, it's not my perfect will, but all right, I won't strike you with lightning for this one. This is acceptable. And then there's this good will of God. It's better than acceptable. It's a little bit better than acceptable. So, you know, that's a little bit better. And that can be a really tough place to be. But then we strive for the perfect will of God. No. I believe that we can prove the will of God. We can pursue the will of God. And when we're in the will of God, it is good, it is acceptable, it is perfect. And that should always be the goal, is just being in the will of God. And know that that covers it all. It's what I want to do this holiday, this Christmas. God, what's your will for me? There's some tough times. Let me still remember you're with me in this. Let me remember there's been a lot of good times. This is a tough one. If this is a good season, help me to enjoy this good season and be thankful that I'm out of a rough season. Help me not to carry a rough season into this one and just keep remembering and keep dragging up the things from you know, my dad is not going to be with us for this Christmas. I'm not buying him a present this year. But I'm not having a big discussion at Christmas about my dad. I'm not going to do that. That's in the past. I'm not going to have that conversation. My wife and I have a private talk about it. I'll have a private talk with her. I'm not memorializing. I'm not taking that whole Christmas time together with my family to memorialize that my dad is not there this year. Her dad is not there this year. Because we have to celebrate what is. And I don't want to sabotage that by bringing something into it that is a bad thing. Philippians 4, 4 through 9 will end with this for tonight. Philippians 4, 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is where we move now into a family that has lost perhaps a loved one during this season, or lost a job, or something that's not poor diet, not getting enough sleep, eating too many sweets. not taking care of their temple. This is where we move from all of that into when somebody has a real tough situation that they didn't ask for. That we can trust that the peace of God that passes understanding, it passes our intellect. We can't figure it out. A number of years ago, 30 years ago, I went through something and I was just praying, and I had a lot of people praying for me, and I was praying that God would just heal my heart. And the thing that I had prayed for really was happening. Went to General Conference, and I had a few friends that knew what was going on in my life, and they said, "Bill, how you doing?" And really, when they asked me, I was amazed because I was really doing well. And I said, "I'm doing great." And two things happened. One is they kind of looked like me, like, okay, he's in denial because there's no way he could really be doing great. The other thing is I felt like maybe I was in denial because maybe I shouldn't feel this great. Isn't it funny how sometimes you pray for something and then God answers it and then you try to talk your way out of it? And so I was really wrestling with that and realizing that, wait a minute, what I had prayed for is happening. And so during this very difficult time, the peace of God that didn't make sense, that surpasses our understanding, the peace of God in a very difficult, traumatic time in my life was there, which I had been praying for, the church had been praying for, and now I'm experiencing it, and now I'm almost talking myself out of it. And so this is something that we can lean on with him, that even in a time where it doesn't seem possible, that the peace of God can be with us and shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now again, our hearts, our emotional side of our thinking, and our minds, our thought processes and our intellect and our decision making, he can keep those things. Those can be helped by him. Finally, brethren, whatsoever. Now, here's where he gives us now how to process. What is his part? The peace of God that passes understanding. You can't figure it out. He just shows up and you just say, that is amazing. I had a lady in my office 2 days ago that my wife had met. And she's in my office. She must have cried 3 or 4 times while she was talking. And she wasn't sad. These weren't sad tears. One of the times she really pulled up was when she said, "I can't ever see myself doing anything else. This is what I'm going to do forever." She'd been doing it a few years. How many years has she been doing it? 6 years. So it's not like she just started doing it in the honeymoon. She's still in the honeymoon stage. You know what her deal is? You know what she does? She lives in a house with about 15 or 20 crack and meth addicts that have been separated from their kids. And she's helping to restore them. And she says the only way it can really happen is with the Holy Ghost and with a faith-based push. If they don't agree to memorize scriptures, they're not allowed to be in the program. If they don't agree to go to church, they're not allowed on the program. They live in this rehabilitation house together, and she helps them to build their way out. Now, I'll tell you where we got a real connection is when she started telling me her story about her time spent on Sullivan Avenue. And so when I started telling her where I grew up and where I went to elementary school, and she just started smiling, well, she spent a lot of time on Sullivan Avenue in her dark days. Her mind wasn't in any kind of financial success. She just wants to help people. when I go into this, what the antidote, what the cure is, what are things that we should do? Here's where she is right now. Finally, brethren, so this is after God does his part. She told us about the time that she knew the moment that it happened. She said she was on Broad and Hague, and she was crying out to God one more time, and he said, I'm not saving your life next time. That was her moment. This is your last chance. And as she moved forward, she knows the absolute spiritual encounter she had with the Lord that washed it away. She said, when it happened to her, in her testimony, he just totally took out the desire, totally removed it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Now he's about to tell us what we have to do. Again, there's some things when we have hope for the holidays, there's some things that we have to do, and then there's some things that supernaturally God does, and God shows up. We can't explain it. That supernatural peace that he was giving me, this supernatural encounter this lady had, all these things are supernatural. You've got to have that. How many of you have ever had that encounter with God where God just showed up and you knew he showed up? There's that. And then there's things where he says, here's what you've got to do now. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever thing. Now he's going to tell us, let me cut to the chase. He's going to tell us, you better think on these things. You better concentrate. You better fixate on these things. You better study these things. You need to spend energy and time on these things that I'm about to mention. True things. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. That's not on the nightly news. That's generally not in any of your news feeds. Good news is almost never, it doesn't sell anything. But we have to find good news. The Word of God is the good news. Testimonies are good news. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. We might think I missed something here. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. If there be any virtue or if there be any praise, think on these things. Back to now us having to do something, some responsibility that we have on this, that we have to think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Everybody say do. So the magic of what this lady is doing that I met, she has everything that God has done for her, she's now helping somebody else to find that. And so it was never God's will for us to just be saved and sit. And so in this passage here, as we think on all these things, it's not just that we'll be saved, but those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. All those things that we've learned, we've got to do. Everybody say do. And the God of peace shall be with you. And so we have to give. We have to help. And so even during this time of year that may or may not be the most wonderful time of year for you, if you will find a way to give and help and serve and give of yourself, that will be a great way to help bring the peace of God into your life. I want us to stand. And I really want an opportunity for God to help somebody. Now, again, part of the lesson tonight is things that we have to do to set ourselves up for the best opportunity to have a great holiday and not stress ourselves and overwork and all these other things. But I also believe that there may be a circumstance that's not of your own making that God wants to help you with. So what I want to do is I want to open up the altar, and then we're going to come around as a family and we're going to pray. But I want to, if you have something that you need the peace of God, you need God's intervention. You need God to help in this time. I don't need to know what it is. Nobody here needs to know what it is, but you just want God to help you during this time for whatever reason. Could you just come to the front and we're going to pray for you? Amen. It's not His will for you to have to struggle through the holidays. I believe the Lord wants to do something supernatural and just intervene and just let you know that He's here and He's going to help you through this. I want some friends of these individuals to come up here and just join together with them, and we're going to pray together. And we're going to let the family of God, we're going to let the body of Christ ministers to itself right now. And I believe God's going to intervene. And so the peace of God is going to give us a visitation tonight. Lord, right now, I believe that Your word is true.